Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Amen. Psalms 84, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Psalms 84, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Now, I'm not going to really deal a lot with that verse, but let me just say this in passing. I'll just say this. When I go down to the house of God, it causes me to praise God. Amen. The house of God should cause you to give glory to God. And if you go to a place to church and it's just always a place of strife and something being stirred up, it's not of the Lord. You know what the psalmist said? He said this, when I went down to the house of God, it's a place where I praise God at. Amen. Boy, the choir got to singing this morning. I got to thinking about that verse. And these girls got to singing about, oh, what a Savior is mine. You know what it makes me want to do at the house of God? It makes me just want to say, yes, sir, He really is a good God this morning. Amen. He says this, blessed are they that dwell in thine house. They will be still praising thee. I'm going to read on in just a minute. But have you ever had a bad day and then went to church? You got down there at church and all of a sudden, all the troubles of life just seemed to go away somewhere. And for a little while, there was an oasis in the middle of the desert. Amen. Well, let's look at verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them. In Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Note with me verse number 6. The Bible said, who passing, and then if you underline in your Bible or write in your Bible, I would invite you to circle the word through. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. And I want to preach this morning just a little while on the valley of Baca. Father, I love you today. God, you know the need of the service, and I pray, God, that you would help us today to see you high and mighty lifted up. God, thank you, Lord, for the great choir singing this morning. God, thank you for the great special singing. God, thank you, Lord, for being present with us today. God, it's evident somebody came gathered in your name today. Because you said, whether two or three are gathered in my name there, I'll be in the midst. And God, I pray that as I begin to preach now, that the sweet Holy Spirit would continue to rest upon our service today. Lord, may your people find the help that they need. Save that sinner closest to hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, I want to look at this valley of Baca for just a little while today. There are places in our life that we never plan to go. There are places that we never sign up for. There's places that we didn't really pray that we would go there. And there's times that we see things in our life that we really wasn't planning for. and we really didn't see coming. Could I say it this way? A phone call in the middle of the night changes our life. A doctor's report that we wasn't expecting. A burden that we can't explain. A season where it seems that God feels silent in our life. In other words, what I'm saying is simply this. There are times in our life that we really didn't pray for and we really didn't see coming. Some of us, it's oft been said, are either in a valley, just come out of a valley, or we're headed into a valley. The Christian life is just not mountaintops and victories. It's also a time of valleys and a time of tears. In Psalms 84, it doesn't ignore the valley. Matter of fact, Psalms 84, verse number 6, addresses the valley head on. It is called the Valley of Baca that we come to today. Whenever you study the word Baca out and you begin to read your Bible and study this, you'll find that it is referred to as the Valley of Weeping or the Valley of Tears. In Bible times, pilgrims would travel to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Jerusalem set on a hill. So to reach the place of worship, there was times that they had to go through the valley. In other words, to get to the elevation that God wanted them to worship Him, they had to go through the valley. And it's interesting that they had to go through the Valley of Baca to get there. It was the Valley of Tears. There's some times that there is dry valleys. There is barren valleys. There is lonely valleys. One of those valleys which is here today called Baca is literally meaning weeping. It was known for being dry. It was known for being harsh and unforgiving. There was no water. There was no comfort and no easy way through. When you study the Bible, it doesn't say if they go through the Valley of Baca. But the Bible says this, who passing through the Valley of Baca. It wasn't a question of if they was going to get to worship if they went through the Valley of Baca. It was simply a statement, you're going to go through the Valley of Baca. So many times in our life, and I know that I'll say this again, but so many times in our life, whenever we get saved, we think that everything's just going to be a bed of roses. But that's not so. What we must learn is that God never intended for the valley to stop us. He intended for the valley to shape us. Because the Bible didn't say this. When they got to the Valley of Baca, the Bible said this, who passing through the Valley of Baca, that valley, that storm, that trial that you may be facing today, God did not put that in your life to stop you. God allowed that to come into your life to shape you into what He wants you to be. Not only that, He also said, when we go through it, watch this, we're to make it a well. That means that the very place that looks empty can become overflowing. The very place that feels like death can become a source of life to someone else. Oh yes, this morning the question is not whether you will go through the valley. The question is this, what will you do when you get to the valley? It's not the question of if we're going to face hard days. The question is this, what are we going to do when we face hard days? Well, the psalmist says this to us, that we can go through the Valley of Baca. I want you to note three things with me. We'll go home. Number one, I want you to see the inevitable valley. The inevitable valley. And valleys are not optional. They're appointed. We don't schedule the valley. God does. We don't choose the valley. God chooses it for us. Are you hearing me preach this morning? The valleys are not optional. If we could personally say, I would rather not do that and get our way, then that's exactly what we would do. But can I be real honest with you? If you've ever went through the valley, in other words, you didn't set up camp and you didn't make a tent in the valley. You went through the valley and you're on the other side of the valley now. I believe that you would agree with me in saying this, that God taught you some things there that you would have never learned anywhere else, that you learned more about praying in that time than you did anywhere else. And your praise today is greater. Your worship today is greater. Why? Because you went through it. It's an inevitable valley. We're going there. We're going to face it. I wish that everything would be smooth sailing all the time. But because of Genesis chapter number 3, not Genesis 1, not Genesis 2, but Genesis 3. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, everything was smooth sailing. They wouldn't even, I'm going to say it a country boy's way, they wouldn't even know bras. Everything was great. But in Genesis chapter number 3, you know what happened? Sin entered into the world. And from that moment on, guess what? We're going to the valley. It's inevitable. It's an inevitable valley. The Bible does say every pilgrim headed to Jerusalem had to pass through Baca. The closer you get to God's presence, the more you'll face pressure sometimes. The valley's not a detour. The valley's a part of God's design plan. For them to get to Jerusalem, they had to go through the valley. Now, I'm going to say this to you again. The valley will make you stronger. The valley will transform you and mold you and make you into what God wants you to be. Can I give you an example? What about Moses? There was a desert before a deliverance. What about Elijah? There was a famine before the fire. What about Daniel? There was lions before promotion. You cannot shout on Mount Zion if you refuse to walk through Baca. What we must remember is that the pathway to God's presence is paved with seasons of pressure. No valley, no victory. It's an inevitable valley. Number two, not only is it an inevitable valley, there's an intentional journey. There is an intentional journey. Well, what did the Bible say again in our text verse? Who passing through? That's a journey. Who passing through the valley? You must choose how you'll go through the valley. It's up to you to choose how you go through it. It's up to you. The key word in this verse is through, though. We're going through the valley. Not stuck, not settling, not staying. Some people visit the valleys, others move on. Some camp in sorrow, others move on. Some build an identity around their pain, others move on. Some let one season define who they are the rest of their life, others move on. The pilgrim said this in Psalms 84, I'm not staying in Baca, I'm going through Baca. I'm not staying in sorrow, I'm going through sorrow. I'm not staying in dryness, I'm going through dryness. I'm not staying in the place of weeping, I'm going through weeping, because there is a Savior that I will worship. Passing through. The valley is real, but so is the destination. The pain is real, but so is the promise. What did the Bible say? Let me give you this verse. Here's what the Bible said in Psalms chapter number 30 in verse number 5. He said, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. Yes, it may be dark right now. Yes, I may be in back of weeping right now, but thank God joy cometh in the morning. The only way that joy joy will ever come in the morning is if you decide by the grace of God, it's an intentional journey, and I'm going through the valley. Oh, yes, weeping may endure for the night, but thank God that's not the end of it. Oh, yes, thank God that's not the end of it. I thought about this, our valley sometimes, and I don't want to detour much, but let me just throw this out. Our valleys sometimes are God-made, and sometimes they're self-made. A lot of times God gets blamed for a lot of things he had nothing to do with. You out of the will of God doing things that's not of God, and you find yourself in a big mess. That wasn't ordained by God. I need some help. That's not ordained by God. But if you're his child, you found yourself in the valley. You remember Peter, don't you? Remember chapter 13 of John? And you know, just say this to you. Whenever you read the Bible, whenever the Bible was written, they didn't write it with verses and chapters. That was added later. That is the reason it is so important that you read the Bible in context. You study the verses prior and you study the verses after. And you know what he says in John chapter 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Boy, isn't that comfort today? But what is the context? Who is he talking to in John 14? He's talking to Peter. Because in chapter 13, Jesus tells him, you're going to deny me thrice. He tells him, you're going to fail me. You're going to miss the mark. And you know what Peter does? Peter does that very thing. And he finds himself in the valley of Baca. But you know what he decided to do? He decided that he wouldn't stay there. Because chapter 14 comes right after chapter 13. And God says this to Peter. Even though you failed me, even though you missed the mark, even though you denied me, I tell you what I'm going to say to you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hey, the question is this. Will you remain at Baca, whether it's God's sin or sin's sin, or will you decide that by the grace of God, I'm going through, it's a journey, I'm going through the valley of Baca. I thought about this. Don't build a house in a place God designed as a hallway. The valley is something you go through, not something you become. Can I just say that to you again? Don't build a house in the place God intended for a hallway. How many times do you talk to people and they say this, I just can't get past it? I am not discrediting sorrow. I'm not discrediting hardship. I'm not discrediting the valley. But listen to me. That's not what God intended. And when we come to the place where we say, I just can't move on, here's what we're saying. Listen to the preacher. Here's what we're saying. God, you're not enough. God, you're not enough. You're not sufficient enough. You're not strong enough. You're not mighty enough to bring me through this. Hear me and hear me well. He is. God did not mean for you to build a house where there was a hallway at. Man, God's teaching you something. God's molding you. God's making you. It's an intentional journey. Go through it. Number one, I see this morning. I see that there's an inevitable valley. Number two, I see there's an intentional journey. Number three, and I'm done, I see that there is an impactful transformation. An impactful transformation. What did the Bible say? Who passing through the valley of Baca, note the next words, make it a well. You know what you're supposed to do when you're there? You're supposed to make it a well. You're supposed to make it a well. God expects you to turn your valley into something useful. Don't just survive it, sanctify it. He expects you to turn your valley into something useful. I thought about this. There are three dangers in the valley.
You with me this morning? There's three dangers in the valley. Distortion of the Savior. God, why are you doing this? God, why are you... There's disbelief of the Scripture. That verse used to help me. No, if that verse used to help you, it'll help you today. The Bible never used to help me. The Bible helps me, period. It may be that you have a disbelief of the Scriptures because there's a distortion of the Savior. Why did God... God needs to explain. God don't need to explain nothing to you. God don't owe me nothing. God don't have to explain nothing to me. God don't have to tell me why things are going the way things are going. God don't have to tell me, and God don't have to tell you why we get a bad phone call in the middle of the night. God does not owe us that. He's God, and He's altogether lovely. He is a wonderful Savior. He only does wondrous works. Whether we're on the mountain or on the valley, He's still God. There's a distortion of the Savior. There's the disbelief of Scripture. And then there's the despair of the soul. Three dangers in the valley. The despair of the soul is I'm done. I quit. I'm done. God says don't waste the valley. He says work in the valley. Did you ever catch that? He said don't waste your valley. He says work in your valley. You say, preacher, how do you get that he tells us to work in the valley? Because he says make a well. Wells don't just happen. It takes work for a well to come in place. So you know what he's saying? He's saying this. When it's dry, then dig. When it's silent, then trust. When it hurts, then worship. A well doesn't just help you. You see, a well helps the next traveler that's coming through. A well helps the next traveler that's coming through. What about Paul and Silas? They didn't escape the prison. But you know what they did? They turned it into a sanctuary. When God brings you to the valley, He expects you to dig in it. Your lowest place can become something or someone else's lifeline. Don't just go through the valley. Leave something behind when you leave the valley. Leave something behind when you leave the valley. What broke you can become what blesses the next traveler. What broke you can become what blesses the next traveler. I'll give you this in closing, Miss Tanya, if you'll make your way to the piano. Baca, well, there is the inevitable valley. There's the intentional journey. There is the impactful transformation. Why does God allow the valley? Boy, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it? Why does God allow us to be in the valley sometimes? Well, wrote three little things down. For our refining, the valley exposes what the mountaintop hides. The valley exposes what the mountaintop hides. For our refining, for our relationship, you don't really know God on the mountain until you've known Him in the valley. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you know Him on the mountain, you know Him as your Savior. You know Him as your rescuer. You know Him as your Redeemer. When you know Him in the valley, you know Him as your sustainer. Amen. You know Him as the one that when everybody else is silent, He's the one that speaks. You know Him as the one when you can't get in touch with nobody else at 2 o'clock in the morning, He's there. It's for our refining, for our relationship, but it's for our reach. What's the valley for? It's for our reach. We cannot lead others to a place we've never been. We can't lead others to a place we've never been. The valley you have today may become the testimony that you preach tomorrow. The valley that you have today may become the testimony that you preach. You said, preacher, I'm not a preacher. I think you understand what I'm saying. It may be the tool that God uses for you to reach someone tomorrow. I wrote this down. Every one of us will walk through the valley of Baca. But you have a choice. You have a choice. You say, preacher, what is that? You can come out bitter, or you can come out better. You can come out empty, or you can come out with a well that will bless everyone behind you. The valley is unavoidable, but how you leave it is up to you. How you leave that valley is up to you. The valley of Baca this morning. You know what God intended for us to do? God intended for us to dig a well there so that when somebody else comes to that valley, they have something to drink. You know, I go out there to the water fountain and get you a drink of water. It's refreshing, is it not? None of us sitting in this room dug the well that that's coming out of. But somebody labored. Somebody went where we wasn't. Somebody done what we couldn't do. And now we enjoy the blessings off of that. I thought about this, and I made reference to this in Sunday school. I was talking about setting boundaries with our time and spending time with the people that we love and spending time. I really dealt with spending time with our parents because our parents will be gone one day. Boy, thank God for my mom and daddy. I went and spent some time with them yesterday evening. I went and spent some time with my mother-in-law and father-in-law yesterday evening. And I said this. I said, you know, I guarantee you, Brother Bailey would give anything to sit around the campfire one more time with his daddy and play the guitar. I said, I guarantee you Miss Rachel would give anything to sit around and talk with her daddy one more time. You know what? Either one of those people, especially Brother Bailey being as young as he was when his daddy died, you know what could have happened in that? Brother Bailey could have sold up, got bitter at God, angry at God and questioned God. But you know what happened through that? Brother Bailey was riding down the road going to Wilmington, and the Holy Ghost sat down in the back seat of a car and showed him he was lost after his daddy passed away. And Bailey got saved by the grace of God. God changed his life. He's sitting here in church today. Does it still hurt? Sure, I'm sure it does. Probably not a day that goes by. They don't think, boy, I wish I could pick up the phone and call my daddy. Wish I could talk to my daddy. Now listen to me. I still got my daddy. After service today, I'll pick up the phone, I'll call my dad, and I'll say, hey, Dad, how was service this morning? He'll say, oh, the singing was good, but the preaching wasn't much. Guarantee you that's what he's going to say. And Mom will say, oh, yes, it was. It's good preaching. Best I ever heard him preach. Daddy probably says something. She lies about other things too. But you know what? If the Lord doesn't come back, and if things go the way that they should go, a few years down the road, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to stand over my dad's coffin. And I'm going to have to talk about my dad's life. I'm going to preach my dad's funeral. We're going to take him to the cemetery in Ronda and bury him beside my brother and sister that's already in heaven. And you know what's going to happen at that moment? I'm going to be at Baca. But I have no doubt that when I get to Baca, there's going to be a great big whale walk up beside of me and say, preacher, you was there for me when my daddy went home to be with the Lord. I know I can't do much, but whatever you need, preacher, I'm right here for you. There ain't a doubt in my mind that Bailey Holderfield will be standing right beside me. Let me tell you the reason why he chose, when he got to Baca, to make a well. To make a well. What are you going to do with your Baca this morning? What are you going to do with that hardship that, whether it's sin-based or whether it's Savior-based? There's two, and I don't have time to preach all that this morning. David went through the worst storm of his life that was not ordained by God. David brought that on himself. But God still helped him through that. So what will you do with Baca this morning? You want to get back to that place of worship? You want to get back to that place where you raise your hand and say, oh, what a Savior. Here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to learn that you're going to have to go through Baca. You ought to take the tent stakes up. You got to quit living in chapter 13 of John. You got to go to chapter 14. You got to go to the next chapter of your life. And you know what will happen? The day will come, sooner or later, or later than sooner, that you'll wake up one morning and the birds will begin to sing again and the sun will begin to shine again. The hurt's still there. The sorrow's still there. But the Savior has become predominant in your life again. And you've dug and made a well so someone else can drink out of it when they get there.